people carried out the plan exactly as God had laid it out in every detail. And because they trusted God that much, God reached out with His own hand and knocked down the walls of Jericho, and they had victory. Because they followed the plan.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. I observed that my notes from last week's sermon are still sitting here, so we could go either way. I guess I'll go with this week's sermon. I want to start by telling you just two things about my paternal grandmother, my grandma Bailey, Thelma Herbert Bailey. The first thing I want to tell you is that she was a self-professed Yellow Dog Democrat. Now, if that phrase is out of the public consciousness these days, it goes back to this scenario. If your choices for election included a Republican and a yellow dog, you vote for the yellow dog. Yellow dog Democrat. I do not believe in the 90-plus years of her life that my Grandma Bailey ever voted for any Republican on local, state, or national level. For her, voting was easy. You walked into the booth, you pushed that straight ticket option, and you walked out. That's the first thing that I will tell you about my Grandma Bailey. Second thing I will tell you is that she only ever spanked me once in the 90 years of her life. I remember the incident well. My dad and his brother and brother-in-law and grandpa were involved in putting a new hardwood floor on the dining room section of the old farmhouse. And we were all there on a weekend, and they had been working on it a little bit, and they took off for lunch and ate lunch, and after lunch they all sat and relaxed for a little bit. And the floor was half finished, which meant that a young child, 4 or 5 years old like me, could see that past where they had already laid the floor, but had already stripped off the old floor, you could get down. You could get down beneath the floor joist, and it would strike me about here. So, of course, I got down in that depression and was standing looking over the hand planes and the hammers and boxes of nails, and I picked up a hammer, and I just began to adjust the brand new hardwood flooring. You know, whack, whack, whack. And Grandma yanked me out of that hole and spanked me. It was the only time. But there was another time, many years later, when I had two smallest children and one little brand new baby of my own, and we were sitting around the table, and I announced my intent to vote for George H.W. Bush for president. For just a minute, I thought I was going to get it again. Oh, it made her mad. And I did not get spanked on that occasion, but it was a close thing. Again, Russ said he wouldn't talk about politics. I guess I will, just a little bit. The word politics means the affairs of the city. That's the literal meaning of the word. It was invented back in the days of city-states when Sparta and Athens and places like that stood as independent powers, even though they were kind of united in a larger Greece. The affairs of the city. Hold on to that for just a little bit. Russ read for us the first portion of the sixth chapter of Joshua, where God told the Israelites to look at the city of Jericho and its wall, which was high and thick and well built. Chariots running around on top of it, houses built into the middle of it, covered with soldiers bristling with spears and bows and arrows, all pointed in the direction of the Israelites because the people of Jericho had caught the buzz. They knew why God had brought these people here, and they did not intend to cooperate with their displacement. So the Israelites were told to look at that big, high, thick, protected wall and to draw this conclusion. Look, God has already given the place into our hands. Now that's not the first thing you might think as you look at a well-fortified and defended city closed up against you. God has delivered it into our hands. But he said he had. And then he gave them the plan. Here's the plan. 6 days in a row, you march around the city. All of you, march around the city. Have the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant. Bring with you some trumpets. And just march around the city, once around, the whole thing, each day for 6 days. Give them a parade. And then on the seventh day, you march around the city 7 times again, everybody and the priests and the Ark of the Covenant and the trumpet. And on the completion of the seventh circuit, you blow the trumpets and everybody shout really loud. And then you charge. And sometimes I wonder if they didn't have to charge before the wall got done collapsing. But they were to charge and to go straight through whatever gap presented itself to them and take the city. This was the plan as God explained it to Joshua. And then if you read in the chapter just a little bit later, where it seems to me that it would have been plenty sufficient to say, and Joshua told the people everything that God told him, and let it go at that. They don't let it go at that. It says Joshua told the people, and go through the whole thing again. God, Joshua told the people, God says, we're going to march all the way around the city once a day for 6 days. All of us, the priests, the Ark of the Covenant, the trumpets, and on the seventh day, we're going to march around the city 7 times, all of us, and the priest, and the Ark of the Covenant, and the trumpet, and on the completion of the last circuit, then we're going to blow the trumpets and shout, and everybody charge, and the wall is going to be collapsing, and you just charge straight through whatever gap presents itself to you and take the city. Went through the whole thing in every detail again. And then a third time in the chapter, if you keep reading, where it seems to me it would have been plenty sufficient to say, and the people did exactly as Joshua said. What it says is, and they marched around the city once a day for 6 days with everybody and the priest and the Ark of the Covenant and the trumpet. And on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. Everybody, the priest, the Ark of the Covenant, and the trumpets. And on the completion of the final circuit, they blew the trumpets and they shouted. And everybody charged through the collapsing wall, through whatever gap presented itself. And they took the city. It just goes through the whole thing again. 3 times. 3 times. Writing was much more cumbersome then than it is now, much more expensive, with materials that were of much lesser quality. You didn't write things that you didn't have to. But for some reason, they didn't write the second time, and Joshua told the people everything God told him, to go through it all again. And they didn't write the third time, and the people did everything God told Joshua to tell them. No, we go through it all again. Why the repetition of the details? I conclude that it was important that they understood and carried out God's plan exactly as He gave it to them. And I can see where it was a plan that once you were told about it, here's how you're going to take the city and here's the details, you would hear it and you would think, we could do that, or we might come up with another plan. Even if you believe God, I have done enough big church events to know that somewhere somebody's going to say, you know, I think it would be better if the ark was in front. I think that would be a better symbolic statement. Let's just rearrange it just that little bit anyway. I can see where somebody would have said, well, how about half of us do all this marching and trumpeting and shouting, and the other half start back here behind these trees and start digging the secret tunnel by which we're going to undermine the wall and gain entrance into the city. I can see lots of revisions that people would like to have made to the plan. I can see whole other plans that people would like to substitute in place of this plan that God gave, which really didn't seem to make a lot of sense on some fronts. I can see all those things, but it was important to note that Joshua communicated the plan exactly in every detail as God gave it to him. And then it was important to note that the people carried out the plan exactly as God had laid it out in every detail. And because they trusted God that much, as I told the kids, God reached out with His own hand and knocked down the walls of Jericho. And they had victory because they followed the plan. Tuesday will be election day. And I am always just as good as my word on this. I will not suggest to you for whom you should vote. I will not suggest to you which issues I think you should give positive consideration or which levies I think you should vote down or any such thing. I will not go into any of that. Week after week after week, I try to tell you what God says in His word. And let that be your guide. Go out and vote your conscience. I will tell you to vote as citizens. This is my advice to you as citizens. This is the way our country is run. And if you don't vote, you lose the right to complain later. Go out and vote. That's fine. It's important. It's what I'm going to do. It's what I will tell you to do as citizens. Research to the best of your ability what's happening and who's proposing what, and vote for the guy who is going to have, you think, the best legislative agenda, because this is what it's about. The laws that govern the affairs of the city or the nation, as the case may be, vote for the person who has the best political and legislative agenda that you think will help. That's what I will tell you as citizens. But now I want to tell you some other things as saints. We already had a covenant based on law. And who did it save? We already had a covenant based on law. And how many hearts did it transform? We already had a covenant based on law. And the broken world remains broken. The old covenant based on law. If it had been perfect, we are told, there would have been no need for a new covenant not based on law. But it didn't save us. It didn't change us. It only accentuated and highlighted our failures. Well, it did something besides that. In the midst of all the rules and regulations, it prophesied this other covenant to come. It told us many things about it. And it essentially comes down to just two terms. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart and begins to change you into His image. This, friends, is the plan. It's not a complicated plan. Everybody can remember it. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away your sins. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart and transforms you into His blessed image. This is the plan. Now, sometimes it occurs to us that that plan is, well, it's, for one thing, it's kind of out of our hands. We can tell about it. We can practice it ourselves, but we don't really execute the plan. We have to trust in God to execute the plan. But isn't that the point? Wasn't it the point with the walls of Jericho? Isn't it still the point? But trusting in God seems to us difficult, and so we go with other plans. And we trust in a law-based, regulation-based solution. If we can only find the ways to govern Russ so that he will behave. If I can only find the way, just find the way to get George to pay enough taxes to fund the things that are important to me. If I can just institute enough penalties, civil and financial, to curb Bill's worst instincts. If I can just get everybody to agree to my 10-point political agenda, all will be well. Only all will not be well. The law saves no one. The effort to have to make the effort to regulate our behavior is an admission of defeat already. We are not changed. The existence of prisons and penalties only acknowledges that we are lost, not saved. A new legal political system, while it has its place for momentary issues, will prove no more effective than the old legal political system. And no matter who is in the White House or the State House, it will not save us. And it will not change us. But there is a plan for that. And I give it to you again. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. And the Holy Spirit of God will take up residence in your heart and transform you into His image. This is the plan. It is the only plan. It is our only hope. And we must work the plan as God gave it. What a shame for the Israelites in the day of Joshua if they had allowed themselves to substitute some other plan for the one that gave them victory. What a shame for saints today if we allow ourselves to substitute some other plan, some other hope for the one that God has given, which will lead us to victory, for God will reach out with His own hand and demolish everything that needs to go. And He will create a new world in which righteousness and peace, harmony, and joy are the order. This is the plan. Perhaps the modern church has so often gone wrong because we think we would trust some short-term political, legal, cultural plan more and sink our time and money and energy into these other plans and neglect this one. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. And the Holy Spirit of God will take up residence in your heart and transform you into His blessed image. Don't lose sight of the plan.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.